How big of a difference does 3 weeks make? Well, 3 weeks ago, federal sentences for crack cocaine were much tougher. Then new guidelines from the U.S. Sentencing Commission took effect, bringing the penalties more in line with what some advocates say is fair. But what about people already serving their sentences? Are those too lengthy? Well, the commission is now considering whether to reduce prison terms for thousands of people in jail for crack cocaine offenses. Later in the show, we'll speak with someone who opposes retroactive resentencing. But first, Mark Maurer. He's executive director of the Sentencing Project, and he thinks that convicts already serving sentences should get theirs reduced, which means some would be let out of jail. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Good to be here.
So explain this. A person arrested for a crack cocaine offense on October 31st, a federal offense, would get a different sentence from someone who got theirs on November 1st.
Exactly. You know, the crack cocaine laws go back to the mid-1980s and punish crack cocaine offenses far more harshly than powder cocaine. And the U.S. Sentencing Commission, recognizing this disparity, has modified the sentences somewhat, but for people sentenced as of November 1st. So essentially, someone who was sentenced on October 31st might have gotten a 10-year sentence for a crack offense. A similar person sentenced on November 1st is now getting roughly a 9-year sentence. And the question is there any justification for making those different, or should we make it retroactive to people who've already been sentenced and are sitting in prison right now?
As part of this whole debate over crack and powder cocaine, these reduced sentences or the reduced guidelines would still have much higher penalties for crack cocaine, correct?
Far higher. One quick example, there's a guy in prison right now by the name of Willie Mays Akins. He was a former baseball star for the Kansas City Royals, played in the World Series, subsequently became addicted to drugs and started selling drugs and sold to an undercover agent. He was convicted of a crack cocaine offense and is in the middle of doing about a 20-year sentence. If this proposal goes through to make it retroactive, he'll have about 3 years cut off his sentence, still do 17 or 18 years. If he'd been convicted of selling powder cocaine, he would have got a sentence of about 2.5 years only. That's the magnitude of the difference we're looking at.
So the Sentencing Commission is taking this up now. When can we expect a decision?
Well, some people have heard that they may make a decision in January. They can do it at any time, or so it's likely within the next month or two. They had a full day of hearings this week, heard a broad variety of views. So I think all the information that they need to look at this issue is certainly before them right now.
How does race play into these convictions over crack and powder cocaine?
Well, race is fundamental to the whole policy. You know, back in 1986, when these laws were adopted by Congress, we had this relatively new drug that had come on the scene, crack cocaine. And the image of that, the crack user, whether or not it was entirely correct, was that of a young black male, sometimes young black female. We had cover of Newsweek magazine and similar, lots of stories on television. And that was the image that came across. And Congress passed the crack cocaine mandatory sentencing laws really in record time. There were virtually no hearings held, no discussion about with experts in the field who knew something about addiction or treatment. And it's hard to escape the fact or the conclusion that the rush to judgment had something to do with the perception of the person who was being affected. It's intriguing to note that the Sentencing Commission has previously made retroactive changes for other drug sentencing laws, particularly for marijuana and LSD, where they changed the law then made it retroactive. Those changes primarily benefited white defendants. Here, the estimates are 85% of the people who would benefit from crack retroactivity would be African American. So it's a very stark contrast before us.
Do you, in your mind, although you're advocating this, see any downside to potentially releasing people who have already been convicted under existing laws?
Well, you know, there are some people who make the charge that, well, we'd be releasing dangerous people out in the community. Some of these people have had weapons involved in their offense. Some of them have been convicted also of obstruction of justice and the like. That's equally true for people convicted of powder cocaine or heroin offenses or anything else. And yet we routinely let people out of prison every day. Many of the people sentenced for these crack cocaine offenses will have served 10, 15, even 20 20 years or more before they're let out. And so if we can't come up with some way to provide these people with job skills, with life prospects after that many years in prison, that points to a much more fundamental problem. It seems to me they've paid far too much in terms of punishment for the crimes they committed. The question now is, how do we prepare them for release to live a more constructive lifestyle when they get out? And I think we have an opportunity to take advantage of that now.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Maurer is executive director of the Sentencing Project. He was at NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.